Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Christy, and I'll be reading MRT for Friday, May 5th, 2023. Pioneer pledges $500,000 for new playgrounds. Pioneer's $100,000 per year commitment to MISD playground project underway at MISD's De Zavala Elementary. On the east side of town, there's a well-worn, well-loved playground at De Zavala Elementary School that's come to mean so much to the kids who attend school there. It's a popular gathering spot and a safe space, or as a De Zavala assistant principal, Monica Baeza, simply notes, kids have always just called it park. We have parents and adults here who remember playing there when they were kids. De Zavala principal Javier Aguilera says proudly, "I'll come by on a Sunday and see kids on the swing or monkey bars." After more than 20 years of wear and tear, the playground was beginning to show its age. The metal and plastic slides and swings had seen better days, leading school staff to make patches and repairs where they could. That's why De Zavala Playground is among the dozens Midland Independent School District has tabbed to replace with modern equipment over the coming years. De Zavala and four other school playgrounds won't have to wait as long. Pioneer Natural Resources is stepping up in a big way to help kickstart the Midland MISD Playground Project, recently pledging $500,000 over 5 years toward playground replacements, starting with De Zavala's campus, where 735 students attend school. For more than two decades, Pioneer has maintained an enduring commitment to improving the communities where our employees work and live. Our longtime support of early education programs throughout the Midland region is an important part of that, said Pioneer President and Chief Operating Officer Rich Dealey, who was recently appointed incoming CEO and will take over leadership duties at the company in 2024. Since its founding in 1997, Pioneer has established itself as a state and regional leader in oil and gas exploration, industry innovation, and production. Throughout its growth in Texas as a large independent energy company over the past 26 years, Pioneer has also become recognized for its charitable giving and volunteerism. When we approach community investments, we look for opportunities that can make a lasting impact. Our five-year commitment toward replacing these elementary school playgrounds is an example of that strategy, Dealey said. Now kids will be able to play and be kids as they play on modern, high-quality equipment at school sites across the Midland area. It's one more way for Pioneer to demonstrate how dedicated we are to all aspects of a child's education. Pioneer's commitment to supporting public education in the Permian Basin doesn't start or end with its pledge to help replace the playgrounds. Last year, Pioneer contributed more than $2.3 million toward education initiatives, including a presenting sponsorship of the Midland Education Foundation's first-ever Basin Book Festival, which championed literacy by offering storytelling, crafts, and exhibits to engage readers of all ages in the region. And our employees even roll up their sleeves to regularly volunteer at school events throughout the Permian, some even pitching in to run extra copies after class or do other errands at numerous school sites to help busy teachers shoulder some of their daily workloads. Thanks to Pioneer's help, another generation of De Zavala kids will get to play on new equipment and make their own memories at a place that will always be known to many here as the park. This is a beautiful thing, not only for the students, but for the whole community, Aguilera said. It's going to be something everyone can be proud of. Leaders react to critical Bloomberg article by Stuart Doreen. Midlanders' reaction to a Bloomberg article that called out the community's alleged inability to reinvest in itself ranged from a needed reality check to not a full reflection of the status quo. The piece, "The U.S. Shale Oil Capital Won't Invest in Itself," stated, "Midland's inability or refusal to fund basic infrastructure upgrades is dinging worker retention rate and hurling Texas's ability to deliver the energy needed to fuel the global economy." Pointed out, investment opportunities have been lost mostly because of Midland's political conservatism and a fear of the next bust. It also used the Midland City Council's decision to turn down tens of millions of dollars in philanthropy to renovate Hogan Park as an example of the leader's unwillingness to reinvest. Midland Hospital District board member and member of the Quality of Place Conservancy, Jeff Beard, said the Bloomberg story represented the current reality of Midland. Beard, an employee of Crown Quest, is quoted in the story, including one time when he said government struggle to keep up goes back to the 1980s. You have to understand reality before moving forward to make a difference, Beard told the Reporter Telegram. As we sit here today, I believe we have underinvested. Now we have to determine what are we going to do about it. The article also looked at education spending in Midland compared to other metropolitan areas, the problems with literacy, the lack of available workforce and entertainment options. The Scarborough Foundation's Grant Billingsley said in a statement that this article is disturbing in so many ways. The Scarborough Foundation is one of the many foundations that has provided a minimum of tens of millions of dollars to causes from healthcare to education to quality of life projects through the community. Among the many issues it addresses, it points out that improving our community is important beyond how we might benefit locally, he said of the article. Tracy Bentley, executive director of the Permian Strategic Partnership, told the Reporter Telegram on Thursday that the Bloomberg article fails to acknowledge the region's resolute commitment to self-investment. Bentley explained that she told the author about numerous initiatives that the coalition of 20 leading Permian Basin energy companies are involved in, from education to healthcare to road safety. The Permian Strategic Partnership, or PSP, was formed because our members recognize the exponential impact of collaborative contributions to the communities in which they live and work. Since our founding in 2019, we have transformed over $130 million in member investments into $1 billion in community-led initiatives, including healthcare centers, teacher training, improving the quality of roads, upskilling workers to fill necessary positions, and making workforce training a priority. While we certainly have much more work to do, this one-sided assessment seems to avoid looking at the tremendous progress that has been made and the hard work our community does to reinvest in itself. Midland Mayor Lori Blong, another source in the article, told the Reporter Telegram that the article the author published Wednesday is a partial representation of Midland and the Permian Basin, but it is not a full reflection of my comments or my opinion. She laid out examples of city spending, including the voter-approved road bond, as examples of the $155 million in investments that have been taken place in recent years. She mentioned the Reporter Telegram, the partnership with Pioneer Resources, and an excess of $130 million to improve the city's water treatment facility and the $40 million to build the Bush Convention Center, the $11 million to build the Animal Services Facility, and $20 million on the park system, including Dennis the Menace, Faskin Park, dog parks, turf athletic fields, field light, playground renovation, and golf course renovations, and the public-private partnership that resulted in the creation of Centennial Park. The author identified multiple missed opportunities for investment, but he did not give a fair look at all that has been and continues to be done to reinvest in Midland, Blong wrote. In many ways, it was simply a critical view of past events. We have so many examples of collaboration and work together across taxing entities, businesses, and nonprofits to solve the needs of our community. We are continuing to shore up those collaborative relationships and have a vision of leading Midland forward. Former mayor and president CEO of Midland Chamber of Commerce, Bobby Burns, told the Reporter Telegram, while the article laid out some serious negatives about the city I love, it seemed seriously unbalanced while still being accurate. Burns said, Midland is a special place that is underappreciated and misunderstood. We're overlooked by Texas and the nation. We're bigger and more vital to our nation's economy than many may realize. Our nation's economy would collapse if not for Midland's contribution to our energy requirement. Bloomberg and our state and national capitals may not understand or appreciate our conservative values and our importance. But Midland's voters have shown great wisdom over the years, and if Midland was situated in Connecticut, I'll wager that Bloomberg would tell a different story. Cancer Can't Stop Army Veteran by Ben Schaefer, staff writer. In February, Chris Hall, an automotive technician at All American Chevrolet in Midland, became one of about 2,000 who can call themselves world-class technicians, and he did so while battling lymphoma. Hall, now 50, was in his mid-20s when he decided to join the U.S. Army. Having a passion for mechanics, he trained and eventually became a Bradley Fighting Vehicle System maintainer. A Bradley Fighting Vehicle is a small tank. He held the rank of Staff Sergeant and was stationed in Savannah, Georgia, Killeen, El Paso, and Germany throughout his 20-plus years in the Army. He's been deployed to Iraq, Kuwait, and other countries around the world. Hall's passion for mechanics persisted when he decided to leave the military. He joined the Shifting Gears program, a workforce program for members of the military wanting to transition to civilian life. The partnership between the U.S. Army, General Motors, and Vertex is a 12-week auto technician training program in which soldiers obtain the proper qualifications to work as an entry-level technician at a General Motors dealership upon graduation. Hall graduated from the program in 2017. During his time in the Shifting Gears program, industry professionals from Lithia Motors found out that Hall wanted to work in West Texas because his family lives in El Paso. All American Chevrolet Midland is the closest Lithia store to El Paso, Hall said. The work and training opportunities were better here than they are in El Paso, so that's what brought me here, Hall said. In February, Hall achieved his career goal of becoming a world-class technician, the highest level of training a service technician for General Motors can obtain. The training for such a title is grueling enough, hours and hours of online and hands-on training in different training centers all around the country and 8 assessments in different service categories that a technician must pass before being called a world-class technician. Hall's journey to the title was more complicated than most. At the beginning of 2022, when he was about 75% complete with his training, Hall was diagnosed with lymphoma, a type of cancer. Although he had to go through chemotherapy, Hall was still able to work and train. I just took my chemotherapy days off and I cut back my workload a little bit, Hall said. For me, it helped me keep my mind off it, and at the time, it motivated me physically to do everything I possibly could to support me and my family until I physically couldn't. Hall said his cancer diagnosis further motivated him to complete the final 8 training assessments necessary to obtain the world-class technician title. If you sit there and let it eat you, it will eat at you, but you have to find something, anything, not necessarily a daily routine, just something so you're just not 100% engulfed in that situation. For me, I threw myself into work, Hall said about living with a cancer diagnosis. Hall achieved a major career goal in February when he passed his training assessments and became a world-class technician. More importantly, he went into remission in June 2022 and has been recovering ever since. Hall encouraged those who will soon leave the military to have a plan following their exit. He said there are many different training programs and avenues soldiers can take to transition into the workforce and civilian life. Bustin' for Badges marks decade of support for law enforcement. Nearly 2,000 participants and volunteers were expected this week at Windwalker Farms in Stanton in support of the 10th annual Bustin' for Badges Sporting Clays Tournament. Since its founding in 2014, the contest has quickly grown into the Permian's premier fundraising centerpiece, welcoming nearly 1,700 participants on 420 teams this year, according to a news release. The event has raised more than $3.5 million to directly benefit the Midland and Ector County Sheriff's Offices and Midland and Odessa Police Departments. The funds have allowed the agencies to purchase vital life-saving equipment and technology. More than 200 Permian-focused companies are supporting this year's contest. This year's $75,000 presenting sponsor is Pioneer Natural Resources. We are honored to give back to the men and women who selflessly work to protect and serve our communities throughout the Permian Basin, Pioneer President and Chief Operating Officer Rich Dealey said in a news release. We couldn't do what we do without our law enforcement officers and deputies protecting the people and places we call home. Classic Honda owner, to expand dealership by Ben Schaefer. Joey Gabarda, owner of Classic Honda Midland on West Wall Street, is expanding with a $25 million dealership on the corner of Leisure Drive and Loop 250. The new dealership, one of the first generation four Honda dealerships in the country, will break ground in August. For Gabarda, expansion means increased employment and sales. Increased sales give Gabarda more opportunity to do what he loves, give back to Midland. As a local business owner, my philosophy is, it's your responsibility to give back, Gabarda said. Gabarda has spent 28 years in the automotive industry and purchased the Classic Honda of Midland Wall Street location from Lithia Motors in 2011. I feel the most rewarding thing that I've done for my family and myself is really connecting with the local community, he said. Gabarda's resume of philanthropic and community efforts includes serving as a board member at High Sky Children's Ranch since 2020, a platinum sponsor for Bustin' for Badges, participating in special needs development for Game Ready USA, and helping as a coach and board member for West Texas Lacrosse Club. His dealership coordinates their Blue Santa Toy Drive during the holidays and the Trinity School of Midland's Life Skills 101 program. Every August, Gabarda's dealership gives $500 to a local teacher nominated by family, friends, and community members so that person can purchase classroom supplies for the upcoming school year. Each Christmas, his dealership gives $500 to a local family in need, among other efforts. Gabarda enjoys giving back to mostly Midland law enforcement and youths. High Sky Children's Ranch is a home for neglected or abused children and teens. Gabarda is head of the Business Development Committee and has served as a board member for 3 years. He said he's provided them with a landscaping truck for the High Sky Children's Ranch campus and is currently in process of finding a vehicle to give to High Sky so the teenagers can practice driving with supervision. It's really opened my eyes to the adoption and foster home process, Gabarda said. Nothing makes me happier than watching youth as they are the future leaders of our country. Bustin' for Badges is an annual clay shooting tournament that benefits Midland and Ector County Sheriff's Offices. Gabarda has been a platinum sponsor of the fundraiser for 8 years. Last year, Gabarda estimated they raised about $750,000 that went toward the two units. Classic Honda's Life Skills 101 program invites Trinity School students to receive auto care advice like jumpstarting a car battery and changing a tire. Gabarda also brings the students into a conference room and shares credit and financial lessons. Midland's 9.8% job growth leads nation by Stuart Doreen. When it comes to leading the nation in largest over-the-year employment increases, Midland is 3 for 3 in 2023. The Bureau of Labor Statistics reported this week that the Midland Metropolitan Statistical Area again led the nation with the largest over-the-year percentage gains in employment. The 9.6 increase was down from 10.1% in February and 11.8% in January, but still well ahead of the Charleston, North Charleston, South Carolina, 6.1%, and Odessa, 5.9%. The number of employees on non-farm payrolls in Midland grew from 108,300 to 118,700 from March 2022 to March 2023, according to the BLS. In Odessa, employees jumped from 75,900 to 80,400. The Bureau also reported that non-farm payroll employment increased over the year in 91 metropolitan areas across the nation during the month of February and was essentially unchanged in 297 areas. Percentage employment growth in March year over year: West Texas 9.8, Odessa 5.9. San Angelo 3.0, Amarillo 2.8, Abilene 2.4, Lubbock 2.3. Also, Houston, The Woodlands, Sugarland 4.5, state average 4.3. Number of employees on non-farm payrolls: West Texas, Lubbock 158,800, Amarillo 127,600, Midland 118,700, Odessa 80,400, Abilene 76,000, and San Angelo 52,100.
Pioneers Sheffield is ready for retirement. Outgoing Pioneer Natural Resources CEO feels his successor is ready to take the reins at Pioneer. The story was written by Melon McEwen. When Scott Sheffield agreed in 2019 to return to his post as Chief Executive Officer of Pioneer Natural Resources, it would be for 3 years. Quote, then COVID happened, and the board decided to consolidate, acquiring Parsley Energy and Double Point Energy, and it ended up being almost 5 years, he told the Reporter-Telegram in a telephone interview. Nearing 71 years, he told the board it was time to focus on the succession plan, which will see Rich Dealey, current president and chief operating officer, take on the role of CEO when Sheffield retires again at the end of the year. Quote, Rich is ready this year, Sheffield said, noting that the 7 months before his actual retirement is the same length of time as in 2016 when Tim Dove was chosen to succeed him. Quote, Rich is ready, he repeated. I've accomplished all I set out to accomplish, making Pioneer a leader in the Permian Basin, reducing flaring, reducing methane and CO2 emissions, changing the capital framework, and increasing efficiencies, end quote. For his part, Dealey told the Reporter-Telegram his new position will offer great opportunities and great challenges. Quote, I plan to continue what we've been doing, which is focus on strategy, Dealey said. I think we have great strategy moving forward, end quote. Execution will be a focus, he said, citing Pioneer's development of wells with lateral lengths in excess of 15,000 feet that provide significant capital savings on a per-foot basis and generate returns that are on average 20% higher than a 10,000-foot lateral well. Pioneer expects to put more than 100 wells with 15,000-foot laterals on production this year. Pioneer will also continue its focus on reducing emissions, expecting 100% of its completions fleets to be either electric, the company is constructing high lines to power operations, or dual fuel powered by the second half of the year. A partnership with NextEra Energy Resources is developing a 140-megawatt wind generation facility on Pioneer acreage on the Hutt Ranch in southeastern Midland County. Dealey will also oversee Pioneer's expansion of its focus beyond the Spraberry trend to the Barnett Shale, budgeting between $150 million and $200 million, principally for drilling 4 Barnett-Woodford Formation wells in the Midland Basin and additional testing of the company's enhanced oil recovery project. Quote, we're taking what we have, a million-acre footprint, and expanding. There are EOR opportunities for us, opportunities for longer-term carbon capture. We're only producing 6 to 8% of our resources. Getting 50% more would be terrific for the basin, he said. Sheffield was born into the industry, the son of an ARCO executive. In 1979, he was the 5th employee of Pioneer's predecessor, Parker & Parsley Petroleum, rising to CEO 6 years later and chairman in 1991. Looking over that career, Sheffield said he is proud of making the Permian Basin the world's largest producing basin. Quote, it wasn't just me, it was 2,000-plus great employees, he said. The toughest part of his career came after Parker & Parsley merged with Mesa Incorporated in 1997 to form Pioneer. That was just before commodity prices collapsed to $10 a barrel, prompting the company to go through significant restructuring. For his part, Dealey said the company's more than 2,000 employees working to add energy supplies the world needs offers an exciting opportunity. He said he is proud of them and what they do to provide needed energy. The challenge, as for every company in the industry, will be navigate commodity prices, which he noted Pioneer cannot control. Quote, "The other challenge is volatility in the world," Dealey said. "Plus, we don't know what future challenges will look like." End quote. What Pioneer can do, he said, is focus on execution and becoming more efficient and more productive, and build a strong balance sheet to help weather any economic downturns.
This is Reed, and this is the Midland Reporter Telegram, Health and Wellness, for Wednesday, May 3rd, 2023. COM Aquatics to hold Community Day. City of Midland Aquatics has its Community Day on May 13th for those interested in visiting and joining COM. Adults can join by visiting COM between 8:30 and 11:30 a.m. and paying $40 per person for 6 weeks of membership. Includes all adult programs. Youth program discounts, along with open swim and team tryouts, will be available from 2 to 4 p.m. Online, www.comaquatics.com. Facebook, facebook.com/comaquaticsmidland. Study. Asthma sufferers are 36% more likely to develop cancer. People with asthma were found to be 36% more likely to develop cancer than people who do not suffer from the chronic respiratory disease, according to research published in the journal Cancer Medicine. The study tracked 360,084 participants, ages 18 to 65, for 8 years, including 90,021 people with asthma. In fact, in that time, those with asthma had a higher risk for developing 5 types of cancer: lung cancer, blood cancer, melanoma, kidney cancer, and ovarian cancer, from the 13 types of cancer that researchers analyzed. About a third of the study participants with asthma used inhaled steroids to control and prevent their asthma attacks. And the researchers found higher cancer risk among both users and non-users. But those with asthma who used inhaled steroids had elevated risk for just 2 cancers, lung and melanoma, compared with higher risk for 9 cancer types among non-users. Quote, "suggesting a protective effect of inhaled steroid use on cancer," end quote, the researchers wrote. As a possible link between asthma and cancer, they point to the chronic inflammation associated with asthma, noting that earlier research found long-lasting inflammation conducive to cancer development and progression. Nearly 26 million people in the United States have asthma, according to the Asthma and Allergy Foundation of America, including nearly 5 million children and teens under age 18. About 2 million Americans will be diagnosed with cancer in 2023, according to the National Cancer Institute. Survey. Pandemic sent high school sex to new low. New York. The first years of the pandemic saw a huge decline in high school students having sex, according to a government survey. Teen sex was already becoming less and less common before COVID-19. About 3 decades ago, more than half of teens said they'd had sex, according to a large government survey conducted every 2 years. By 2019, the share was 38%. In 2021, 30% of teens said they had ever had sex. That was the sharpest drop ever recorded by the survey. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention on Thursday released reports analyzing the latest findings from the survey that looks into risky youth behaviors, including smoking, drinking, having sex, and carrying guns. More than 17,000 students at 152 public and private high schools responded to the 2021 survey. Participation was voluntary and required parental permission, but responses were anonymous. The CDC also noted declines in students who said they were currently having sex or who'd had at least 4 sex partners. The declines clearly had a lot to do with the pandemic that kept kids isolated at home for long stretches and often under extended adult supervision, experts said. The 2023 survey, which will show if the decline was temporary, is currently underway. Another finding, the proportion of high school kids who identify as heterosexual dropped to about 75%, down from about 89% as recently as 2015. Meanwhile, the share who identified as lesbian, gay, or bisexual rose to 15%, up from 8% in 2015 when the survey began asking about sexual orientation. Explainer: prescription drugs promising weight loss. Researchers have long looked for medications that can help people lose weight, mostly with disappointing and, in some cases, dangerous results. In recent years, however, drugs designed to help people with type 2 diabetes control their blood sugar levels have had the added effect of paring pounds. Ozempic, a Novo Nordisk drug approved to treat diabetes in 2017, skyrocketed in use after celebrities and ordinary people on TikTok reported that their doctors prescribed it, quote, off-label, end quote, for weight loss. Wegovy, a higher-dose version of the same medication called semaglutide, was approved for weight loss for adults in 2021 and for children aged 12 and older late last year. Now, a new drug made by Eli Lilly and Company called tirzepatide is poised to become the most potent obesity drug on the market, promising users losses of more than 30 to 50 pounds over time. Already approved under the brand name Mounjaro to treat type 2 diabetes, tirzepatide is being considered for fast-track approval as a weight loss drug based on the results of key trials, with the latest announced on Thursday. The new study found that patients with diabetes who find it notoriously difficult to lose weight could shed about 16% of their body weight, or more than 34 pounds using tirzepatide. An earlier study found that people without diabetes lost up to 22% of their body weight, or more than 50 pounds, on the highest dose of the drug. Tirzepatide and other medications spur weight loss by targeting the metabolic conditions that lead to extra pounds. Here's what to know about these new prescription drugs that promise weight loss. New weight loss drugs. The drugs that have drawn the most attention have been a class of medications that activate a hormone known as GLP-1. They include Ozempic and Wegovy, which are two versions of the same medication, semaglutide. Tirzepatide targets GLP-1, but also affects a second hormone called GIP, which developers say contributes to its increased effectiveness. Mounjaro was approved to treat diabetes in May 2022. The drugs are delivered through once-weekly injections. Users are advised to follow a healthful, reduced-calorie diet and to exercise regularly while using the drugs. How do they work? The drugs work by mimicking the actions of hormones, found primarily in the gut, that kick in after people eat. The hormones help regulate blood sugar by triggering the pancreas to release insulin, another hormone, and slowing the release of sugar from the liver. People who are overweight or have obesity can become insulin resistant, which means the body doesn't respond to insulin properly. The obesity drugs lower blood sugar and slow down digestion, so people feel full longer. They also affect signals in the brain linked to feelings of fullness and satisfaction, tamping down appetite, food-related thoughts, and cravings. Because people feel full longer, they eat less and lose weight. How effective? In a trial, adults who took Wegovy saw a weight loss of nearly 35 pounds, or about 15% of their body weight. Adolescents lost about 16% of their body weight. The latest study of tirzepatide studied the drug in more than 900 patients with diabetes who were overweight or had obesity over nearly 17 months. It showed weight loss up to 16% of body weight, more than 34 pounds, when using the highest dose of the drug. Patients who received placebo or dummy injections lost about 3% of their body weight, or 7 pounds. An earlier trial of tirzepatide showed weight loss of between about 15% and about 22% of body weight, or about 35 pounds to about 52 pounds, depending on the dose. The drugs appear effective for chronic weight management over many months. In addition to weight loss, they also reduce health problems associated with obesity, such as high blood sugar and markers of heart and metabolic disease. However, it appears that if people taking the drug stop, they regain the weight they lost and the health problems that came with it.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the oil report of the Midland Reporter-Telegram for Saturday, April 29th. Petroleum Hall of Fame inducts four in the class of 2023. The story was written by Mella McEwen. Four new members took their place alongside Petroleum Hall of Fame members who ranged from pioneers like Frank Pickrell, responsible for the Santa Rita No. 1, to those currently influencing the industry like Jim Henry, Tim Leach, and State Representative Tom Craddock. Former U.S. Presidents George H.W. Bush and George W. Bush are also members of the Hall. There are now 158 members in the Hall, which dates back to 1967. The class of 2023, F. Marie Hall, Kenneth B. Nolan, Edward Runyon, and Don Sparks, were inducted into the Petroleum Museum's Petroleum Hall of Fame at a recent dinner at the Bush Convention Center. The late F. Marie Hall, a native West Texan, was an accomplished businesswoman working in banking and law. She also served as director of the State National Bank of Big Spring, but she is remembered more for her philanthropic efforts. Her philanthropy embraced medicine, nursing, health sciences, rural health care, rehabilitation, fine arts, higher education, research, architecture, interior design, sports, law, and urban forestry. In 2011, she established the FMH Foundation and served as president until her death in 2017. After graduating from Texas A&M University with a degree in mechanical engineering in 1957, Ken Nolan joined Shell Oil as a production engineer, beginning his career-long passion for optimizing production from artificially lifted wells. In 1970, he left Shell and partnered with the late Sam G. Gibbs to form Nabla Corporation, eventually growing the company to design and diagnose hydraulic and submersible pump systems and building digital dynamometers, pump-off controls, and fluid-level instruments. Nolan and Gibbs reteamed in 2014 to form Greenshot LLC, specializing in automated well fluid level technology that was sold to Wellworks Energy in 2018. Nolan has 8 patents and has written textbooks and technical papers on artificial lift. Ed Runyon made his way from Southern Illinois to the University of Tulsa, where he graduated from the Petroleum Engineering School in 1955, joining Sohio Petroleum Company as a reservoir engineer. After a stint with the military, he moved to Midland in 1960 as a district engineer working on Sohio's biggest project, the Sprayberry Driver Unit water flood that ultimately failed. His career has taken him from Permian Enterprises to Elcor, to the public arena with Bell Petroleum Services. He entered the private arena with the formation of Texon Oil, and in 1990 he acquired controlling interest in Mid-America Petroleum, taking the company private and renaming it Seaboard. Over the last 25 years, Texon and Seaboard have discovered the R.A. Clearfork Field, Weeks Field, Horned Frog Field, Double E Field, and Merrily Field. He also served as president of the Society of Petroleum Engineers International in 1974. Don Sparks joined Shell after graduating from the University of Texas at Austin with a degree in petroleum engineering assigned to Midland. After serving in the Navy, he returned to Shell as an exploitation engineer responsible for all drilling procedures and completion procedures of development wells in West Texas. After working for Freeport Oil Company and then Bailey, Sipes, Williamson, and Runyon, he formed Discovery Operating with Ernest Angelo in 1973. 2 years later, he bought out Angelo and has since built Discovery into an independent oil and gas company with 31 employees operating 420 wells within a 300 to 400-mile radius of Midland, producing 10,700 barrels of crude and condensate and 13 million cubic feet of natural gas per day. U.S. Energy buys working interest in Mascot Project. The story was written by Miller McEwen. A large 100-well project in Midland County is attracting significant financial support. The Mascot Project, being drilled along Interstate 20, includes multiple producing properties, associated midstream assets, and upwards of 50 undeveloped locations expected to produce approximately 6,500 barrels of oil equivalent per day during 2023. It is majority owned by Midland Petro DC Partners LLC, also known as MPDC, a David H. Arrington-owned business and operated by an affiliate of MPDC, Permian Deep Rock Oil Company. Speaking with the Reporter-Telegram by telephone, Arrington said the project has been underway since 2017. Approximately 50 wells are currently producing and another 50 remain to be drilled. Quote, "These wells are some of the best in class in the Permian Basin," he said. To help development of the project, Arrington has recruited some partners, most recently U.S. Energy Development Corporation, which has just announced acquisition of a 25% working interest in the project for $225 million cash and other considerations. Quote, "It's a great project with a great company," Jordan Jason, Chief Executive Officer of U.S. Energy, told a Reporter-Telegram by telephone. "We're proud to negotiate our way into the project," end quote. Jason said what was attractive about the Mascot Project was that it is being developed by a local operator with a deep history in the region and who already has rigs running. Arrington said there are two rigs drilling in the project. Last fall, Northern Oil and Gas announced it has acquired a 36% working interest in the project for $330 million cash. Under the agreement, Northern Oil and Midland Petro have designed a joint operating agreement with a plan to fully develop the units, with drilling completed in 2024. Quote, "We wanted strong partners," Arrington explained. "We have a tremendous number of wells to drill and a tremendous amount of cash to spend. These partners will help us get it done quicker," end quote. Midland Petro will remain operator, and U.S. Energy and Northern Oil and Gas will each have non-operated working interests in the project. Jason said his company anticipates full development of the project to comprise another $130 million in capital expenditures over the next 2 years, bringing the total transaction value to more than $300 million. He added that investment in the project only deepens its ties to the Permian Basin and highlights its continued strategy to acquire high-quality assets with proven operators in the region. He estimated 85% of U.S. Energy's efforts are in the Permian Basin, quote, "and will be for the foreseeable future," unquote. Requirements for future acquisitions include assets with good wellbore control and that are developmental in nature. Quote, "We plan to stay the course and expand our allocation," Jason said. "I'd say it appears there are a number of high-quality operators in the Permian Basin open to strategic joint ventures and partnerships," end quote. U.S. Energy has the ability to pivot between operating assets and serving as a non-operated working interest owner, and Jason figures about 65% of the company's holdings are non-operated and 35% operated. while two-thirds of U.S. Energy's budget targets the Permian, with an investment of $575 million, including the mascot. In the last 24 months, the company also works in the Powder River and Haynesville basins. The company plans to invest $200 million to $300 million annually in the Permian for the next 2 or 3 years. By 2025, the company will invest an additional $400 million to $600 million not only in the Permian and Midland basins, but the Powder River and Haynesville. Quote, "We're also working in different basins that may be overlooked. We're in the process of drilling wells in the Barnett Shale over the last 2 years, and we'll look at greater exposure there. We'll expand because the rates of return have been so strong," Jason said. While operators are nearing the end of their core Tier 1 Permian acreage, Jason sees opportunities in both Tier 1 and Tier 2 acreage and will work with operating partners to acquire acreage. Quote, "The opportunity to deploy drilling dollars won't slow down anytime soon," he said. Emissions to dominate Permian Basin Seminar. The story was written by Mella McEwen. Environmental concerns are not new to the Permian Basin oil and gas industry. This has led Midland College's Petroleum Professional Development Center and the Permian Basin Petroleum Association to bring the industry and regulators together to discuss issues, share concerns, and try to craft effective solutions through its annual Permian Basin Environmental Regulatory Seminar. This year's seminar is set for May 11th at the Bush Convention Center, 105 North Main Street. It will open with registration at 7:30 a.m. and end with an ethics talk presented by Michelle Harmon with the Energy People Group. During the lunch break, Steve Melzer of Melzer Consulting will be presented the Bruno Hansen Midland College Environmental Excellence Award. Quote, "Our primary focus this year is air emissions," Aaron Van Evera Welch, director of the PPDC, told the Reporter Telegram by email. Quote, "While this is not a new topic for the Permian Basin oil and gas operators and contractors to be cognizant of in their regular processes, it's one of tremendous importance. This is especially so given the multiple recent modifications of federal and state air emission regulations that directly affect our Permian Basin energy sector and therefore the quality of life for all of us who live and work in the basin," she wrote. Presentations at this year's seminar are designed to assist local operators to be aware of these emission policy changes and update their operations accordingly, she added. One effort includes the first-ever panel discussion offered by the seminar. Seth Long with Shepherd Safety Systems, Jennifer Black with Scepter Incorporated, and Jennifer Blackledge with Champion X will discuss emissions monitoring technologies, comparisons, and certification standards. Another emissions-related presentation will be from Craig Pritzlaff with the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality regarding compliance and enforcement in Texas. David Elam with TRC Companies will provide an update on both federal and state methane regulations. Dan Natz with the Independent Petroleum Association of America will offer a federal regulatory update, while Stephen Robertson, Executive Vice President, Permian Basin Petroleum Association, will offer an update from both the Texas and New Mexico legislative sessions. Other topics to be discussed include updates from the Texas Produced Water Consortium and the New Mexico Produced Water Research Consortium and critical infrastructure regulations by Jared Ware, Misty Dosher, and Jared Eberle with the Railroad Commission. A special presentation by Richard Bradley, Senior Vice President, Operations with University Lands, will cover the 100th anniversary of the Santa Rita No. 1 discovery well of the Big Lake Field in Reagan County that opened the oil fields of the Permian Basin to exploration and development, not to mention the billions in royalties and lease payments made to the Permanent University Fund that benefits the University of Texas and Texas A&M systems. Quote, "We are excited to highlight the centennial anniversary of the Santa Rita No. 1 well," Van Evero Welch wrote. Capstone provides microturbine for Permian producer. The story was written by Mella McEwen. Reliable energy supplies that are also low emission is in increasingly high demand by Permian Basin oil and gas producers. One large West Texas oil producer, which was unidentified, believes it has found the answer in a microturbine from Capstone Green Energy. Capstone, through its southern U.S. distributor Lone Star Power Solutions, is providing the operator with an additional C800S Signature Series microturbine. This is in addition to the 3.6 megawatt energy-as-a-service contract between the two parties signed earlier this year. The operator will use the microturbine energy system to power production loads using on-site natural gas produced from its day-to-day operations. Quote, "The demand for these types of application is increasing for a number of reasons," Doug DeMeritt, president of Lone Star Power Solutions, told the Reporter Telegram by email. Quote, "Among them is the world's appetite for American energy increases due to geopolitical issues and availability. Also, because our products are considered a clean air technology, we can produce energy on site that is roughly 90% cleaner than any other combustion technologies, and in some cases cleaner than the power coming from the electrical grid. Our products are also unique in that they are American-made, which is reflected in the availability of our product for our customers. With greater control over our supply chain, we can deliver new products to our customers in 6 to 12 weeks, which is unheard of today," end quote. Lone Star is the exclusive distributor of Capstone Green Energy products in Texas and the Gulf States, according to DeMeritt. His company has approximately 15 megawatts of microturbines delivered in the Permian Basin in 2023, with orders for an additional 40 megawatts to be delivered by the end of the year, he wrote. As part of that, Lone Star is 100% focused on the full Capstone product portfolio, which includes product rental and sales. DeMeritt wrote that the needs of the customer dictate whether the project is a sale or rental, quote, "as all customers, regardless of size, have specific needs that dictate how we move forward. Our goal is to support our customers' transition to clean, reliable power that allows them to maintain or expand their operations while lowering their site emissions," he wrote. While a majority of Lone Star's projects are using natural gas as a fuel, the company does have several sites using alternative fuels, including the different forms of biogas and hydrogen, DeMeritt added. Capstone provides customized microgrid solutions and battery storage solutions that can include hybrid energy systems and larger frame industrial turbines and a combination of battery technologies and monitoring software. To date, the company has shipped more than 10,000 units to 83 countries and estimates that in fiscal year 2022 alone, it saved customers more than $213 million in annual energy costs and approximately 388,000 tons of carbon.
When to stop taking biotin before blood work? Dear Dr. Roach, I'm writing in regarding your recent column in Biotin Affecting Blood Tests. I have yearly blood tests due to a thyroid condition. I take Synthroid daily. I also take 2,000 mcg of biotin twice a day because my nails were peeling and splitting. I seem to have had some improvement in my nails, so I would like to continue with the biotin. My question is this: how long before my blood test should I stop taking biotin to minimize the effects on the blood work and avoid any adverse blood test effects? LS. Answer. Biotin doesn't cause problems with the thyroid and doesn't affect the medication, but it can confuse the laboratory assay. You can avoid this by halting the biotin for 2 days prior to taking the thyroid test. Other hormonal tests like progesterone and testosterone can also be affected by biotin, but none of them are as prevalent as in thyroid testing. Dr. Roach writes, a recent column on cystitis glandularis discussed the possibility of this condition progressing to bladder cancer. An alert nurse noted that the person with this condition was a smoker. I should have emphasized the importance of quitting smoking. Nothing reduces risk of cancer as much as quitting smoking. I've been in the elevator in the hospital and heard a patient I didn't know say, "The doctor didn't ask about smoking, so it must be okay." Every patient during every visit needs to know how important smoking cessation is at making them feel better and live longer. I thank JSRN for this reminder. To your good health, Dr. Keith Roach. Roach column appears Tuesdays through Saturdays. Readers may write him at P.O. Box 536-475, Orlando, Florida 32853-6475. This is Christy, and I'm continuing to read Odessa American for Wednesday, May 3rd, 2023. This is Dear Abby. Wife incensed when secret is revealed, teenagers break up. Dear Abby, my son recently confided that his fiance is pregnant with our first grandchild. He asked me not to share this information with my wife, his mother. He knew she would be upset because he was in the process of breaking up with his fiance. I told him I would keep his confidence for a short while, but that he should please tell his mom soon. 2 weeks went by before my son finally told his mom about the pregnancy. She was shocked. On the way home, she asked if I had known about it. Well, my life flashed before my eyes. I couldn't lie, so I admitted I knew. She became furious with me and said I should have prepared her for this news and had thrown her under the bus. A big argument followed. Was I wrong to keep my son's confidence? In retrospect, in Georgia. Dear in retrospect, no, you were not wrong. Because you were asked to keep this in confidence, it was not your news to share. Your adult son asked you to keep this to yourself, and it would have been wrong to betray it before he was ready to tell his mother himself. Even if he breaks up with his partner, that baby will be a part of all of your lives for the foreseeable future. Move forward and put this spat to rest. Dear Abby, after 17 years, my hubby and I are separated. He met someone else and fell head over heels for her. Now he's back, but life with him is so different. He shows me no affection, no caring, never a passionate kiss. Our relationship is not the way it used to be. There is no talking with him, and he calls me all sorts of names, something he never did before. He tells me he loves me, but he doesn't demonstrate it. When he comes to bed, he sleeps at the edge of the bed with no cuddling or sex. What is a woman to do? I truly love him. Crying in New Jersey. Dear Crying, it appears your husband may not have returned to you willingly. Tell him you can no longer live the way you have been and offer him the option of marriage counseling to see if your very sick relationship can be put back on track. If the answer is no, as much as you love him, rather than continue tolerating the emotional abuse you are experiencing, get the heck out of that marriage. Dear Abby, my husband's father is an alcoholic who lives with my husband and me and our two teens. I buy and prepare his food, put gas in his car, and buy his alcohol. I even take his dog out. If I don't, he lets the dog pee in my house and destroy the wood floors. When he drinks, he gets angry and threatens my husband and me. He let his dog defecate in my driveway one day and then proceeded to come after us. When I finally had enough of his badgering, I picked it up and put it on the hood of his car. Was I wrong? Living with the devil. Dear Living, I think so, but what does your husband think about all of this? Is he so used to dear old dad's antics that he accepts them as normal? A way to put an end to your father-in-law's abuse would be to stop buying the gas and his booze. Of course, he won't like that, but if he becomes threatening when he's loaded, it's the only way short of evicting him to protect yourself and your teenagers from his outbursts.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.